these individuals were the antithesis or the opposite of what the disciples were doing. Everything the disciples did was led by the Spirit. We mentioned how the initiation, the first journey of Paul, the choosing of those who were going to come earlier in the chapter, the choosing of the so-called deacons, all of this completely led by the Spirit, so much so that we're discussing why Paul, you know, left the synagogue. So it's clear to us that all of their actions were motivated and led by the Holy Spirit. Whereas these individuals, they're called vagabond Jews. Now, it's an interesting word because it's just one of those words that stands out that you don't see very much, if at all, in Scripture. And if you look in Darby's translation, he says certain Jewish exorcists also who went about. So the vagabond is the going about. And so these are individuals who are wishy-washy. They're back and forth. They don't know where they want to be. They know what they want, and that is gain, apparently. So they go all over the place just seeking that one thing. And certainly, as believers, true believers, we can have this wishy-washy, vagabond, vacillating nature where you're going here and there. You're not really sure. There's no direction. And the problem is there's no connection with our Father through the Holy Spirit if we're not in the right place. And so we should never have it, because what happens is every single place you go, you take on a bit of that character. And so you go here. It's just one party. It can't do any harm. Well, you may not realize anything, but there's some bit of that vagabond nature that's coming towards you. And then somewhere else, I'm just going to watch this one. All of this stuff, it builds up, and before you know it, you have no direction. And all you can do is go about looking around, hoping for some gain.
And you know who is the first person? It was Cain. These are the children of Cain. Cain was the first one to say, I'll be a vagabond. And what is really the whole idea is not being in the presence of the Lord. These were sons of the high priest. The high priest ought to be in the presence of the Lord. But a vagabond is a person that is running from the presence of the Lord to seek his own interest. And that is really the characteristic of the unbelievers.
Also, if I may say quickly, what happened over here that there were those that did exactly similar to what Simon the sorcerer did in Acts chapter 8? So one person belittled the Spirit of God, and this company over here is demeaning the name of the Lord Jesus himself. In either way, they were exposed. And brethren, we can rest assured that those that oppose God will be exposed sooner or later. But what I want to suggest is that when there is a real work, there was other company later on, because I'm sure the brethren probably want to move us, that they had certain books of certain, probably it's about sorcery, probably about things that were in opposition to God. And what they did is something that is very commendable. I trust that we might have the courage to do the same thing. Is they recognized, in light of everything that they have heard, that these books deserved one thing and one thing only, is to be burnt. They didn't believe in selling them in a garage sale. The reality of it is sometimes there is an old package that instead of getting rid of it and getting rid of everything that is opposing to God, the next thing we do is let's sell it in a garage sale. These company were so convicted how terrible these things were that they came under the right evaluation of things and they judged it with fire. And brethren, may the Lord help us to learn from such a group that things that are opposed to God, we need to judge it exactly the same way.
Just a precursor to that, John, as we lead up to that, I was just thinking of the result of the work of God in the Apostle Paul, the exposing of the exorcists and their personal gain, and the demon crying out, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you? The end result is this: fear fell upon all of them. God is working, and the result of his work is always that there is a sense of reverential regard for him. And then it says, and the Lord Jesus was magnified. Well, you ask the question, who is doing the work? You might think it's Paul, right? Paul was doing the work. The aprons came and touched his body, and from Paul's body flowed out all this power to heal. What does Luke tell us? Luke says, the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Not Paul. The name of the Lord Jesus. Resulting then in the change that you've just led us into. A recognition of all the books that philosophy of one sort or another that were there coming out of the school of Tyrannus, and people were trusting in it. All these things were now put to the flames and destroyed, because there's another book that's more important, the Word of God.
And I think I want to underline this matter of burning the books of magic, because today everything that we read about in the book of Acts, this whole demon-controlled world, is coming back in a very strong way. In a very subtle way, after the rapture of the church, it will be very, very obvious. But we need to be very, very careful. This whole idea, people now are saying we don't need religion, we need spirituality. Spiritualism, New Age movement, all of these things that are coming in, this taking care of the earth, this whole green movement, all of these things that are going on in the world today, in the academic world, in the universities, in the school, all of these things, and it seems like it's an art. Ephesus was the center of the Temple of Diana, where all of the, not only just the witchcraft and the immorality and the demon worship and all of that was very prevalent and made them a lot of money. You read later on how Demetrius, the smith, the silversmith, was upset about losing his gain. But just very important for us that we need to be very careful with whatever videos you are watching, whatever CD you are listening to, whatever site you're going on the internet. These things are available and very, very subtle. The problem with this is they contaminate your mind. They control your mind, and it's a very strong tool in the hand of Satan to impact the way we think. It is everywhere, and we just need to be very careful. A true Christian doesn't dabble with these things. He just burns them out, to incinerate them. He doesn't want to even like hide them somewhere and maybe later on, you know, go and look at them. He burned them, incinerate them completely so you would not look at them again. It is very important for us. It's available more. You don't have to buy a book anymore. All you have to go is on a website. And sometimes even you type, if you're typing something and you misspell it, they know that. And they have you, they guide you to certain websites. Be very, very careful about witchcraft, reading your horoscope or whatever that is. Thinking of all of these things, it is what exactly had happened in Ephesus. The true believers, the converted believer, will turn away completely from these things and follow after the world. If you want to buy books, Larry's here and he doesn't want to go home with all of these books.
Would you parallel this book matter to that of Othniel, who conquered the city of Kirjat Sefer, which is the city of the book? Is Othniel the kind of character of a man who knows what books, or what book rather, is the right book to be engaged with, as opposed to what this world has making itself available to us?
Indeed, and as you mentioned earlier, there are these good books that support the book. We have heard earlier, the Apostle Paul, when he was talking to Timothy, yes, he was concerned about the coat and certain things, but he also wanted the books. So, dear brethren, there are some good books that will enhance our spiritual growth that we need to read, because it will help us understand, as we have heard earlier, certain scriptures.